So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. That is when I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Myself, I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again.
Praise the Lord this morning that He walks with us through the fire and through the flood, and He is with us every step of the way. Praise the Lord this morning for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everyone has had a great week this past week and a productive week. And this morning the children's home are all down in Panama City, and so let's remember them as they're away. Pray that they have a good time together and just a great time of refreshment while they're away, house parents and all. So good to be able to get away when you can. And so I know they're thankful. And this morning I walked in the church and went toward my office, and there stood the Bendys. And so, what a surprise this morning. So glad that you guys are able to come back and be with us this morning. Miss Shauna, Brother Michael, so good to have y'all back with us. And pray that you've been getting settled in real good back in Alabama. And, of course, you know, this is your church home. And always glad to have you back. So I hope you enjoy being with us today. Speaking of today, tonight we'll have our Sunday evening fellowship, devotion and a dinner, is how I like to call it. But realistically, we'll be having finger foods, and if you would, just bring something with you as you come, and that'll be good. Looking forward to that tonight. Good change of pace for us. We need a fellowship. We need to do something a little different, stir the pot a little bit. but the right kind of stirring, that's for sure. And so good to have such a time as we have on the Sunday night fellowships around here. This morning, let's remember Miss Connie Teague, her brother. She called me last night, and her brother is in Kentucky, of course, but he's in the hospice care center at the hospital there. They have a unit in the hospital where they're at that has a hospice care center. And so that's very convenient for those that need that care. He has a bleeding stomach ulcer on top of everything else he has going on, and they won't do surgery on him. He's just not in good shape to do that. So let's remember him and them when we pray this morning. Miss Dawn Capistrano had surgery this past week, and so she made it through that successfully. I think they had to keep her an extra day, but she did make it home, and so thank the Lord for that. We are praying for you, Miss Dawn, and Miss Joanne Rich. Let's remember her in prayer. She had a blood clot in one of her legs, and so she's at home on medication trying to get that dissolved so that surgery is not required. And so we're praying for Miss Joanne. Also, Brother Jeff is recovering at home. He had a successful surgery, and we praise the Lord for removing that mass, the doctors, and it being negative for cancer. So praise God for that. Let's remember Leonard and Dolores, Brother Leonard, and his issues he has going on with some tests he took. He may have to have some iron infusion, so let's remember him in our prayers. But also, let's remember Brother Alan Clayton, and he's back with us, and we're so thankful to have you back. But so glad you had some time away, too. Is it the 4th or 5th? 5th. Brother Allen is having surgery on the 5th. And so let's remember him. Hernia surgery. Let's remember this with Brother Allen. All right. Got a hand up. Yes. We will, and we'll remember all of those in the pathway of this hurricane. And someone texted me last night, I believe Brother Trail did, requesting prayer for these as well. So let's remember them. Someone had a birthday this past Friday, very near and dear to my heart, my wife's heart, our daughter Lily. She celebrated 15 years on this earth, and she's already talking about driving and going her separate way. But I said, hold on, little lady. Hold on just a minute. One thing comes before the next thing. But I did find out that at 15 years old, you can go and take your written exam. And then at 16, have your license. Not pushing the subject. Definitely not pushing it. But we are going to take some driving lessons at Taylor Farm Park at the very lower level. And so, just in case anything happens there, we have plenty of woods to fly into. But she knows I'm picking on her. But anyway, it seems like they're just pushing it closer and closer. But anyway, so we are so thankful for her 15 years. I had all week with her, and she'd been out of school for fall break. And so her mother and I had some time together as well, all of us together. So it's been a great week. Beside those things, you've come this way this morning. You've gotten ready. And if you're here and you're ready to worship, say amen. 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 God is in this place. God is in the details. And God wants to do something this morning. And so let him have his way. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. And we are thankful, God, that we can call upon you and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And God, not only are you our Father, but you're our helper through the Holy Ghost. And this morning we pray that the Holy Spirit would move and operate and touch hearts and minds. Only you know the mind of every person in here. Only you know the mind and the heart of every person. So we pray that you would just deal with those things, Lord, as we continue in worship. And we pray for those that are watching on Facebook that their lives will be touched as well. We realize that everyone can't be here, and so we pray for those who are watching on Facebook. And God, we just pray for all of these requests, those getting ready to have surgery, those who have had surgery. God, those who are just mentally going through a hard time. Father, we just pray an umbrella prayer, a blanket prayer over everyone today. And we just ask your very best in every life. We love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Or if you will, stand with me, church. Stand with me this morning as well. Turn over to page number 139. Page 139, and let's sing At Calvary. All right, everyone sing out now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not the Lord was crucified.
Back in the house of the Lord. I appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate you giving me just a little bit of a long weekend last weekend, a little bit of time of rest, much needed, and I do continue to pray, and I do have a few things going on. The Lord knows all about those, and I know He's going to see me through, but I do appreciate your prayers in advance. I thank you for that. But let's go to Him again here in a few moments in a word of prayer. Please remember all of the prayer requests, and I'm sure there'd be many more mentioned. I said this morning in the choir, if we were to stop just for a moment, we could think of many more things that we need to bring before the Lord. But I'm glad to know that He knows all about them all, aren't you? And He already has an outcome for us. He has a blessing for us on the way, and we're thankful for that. And we have a lot to praise the Lord for, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Please do pray for those that are traveling today and those that are going through some difficult times as well. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Please pray for our pastor this morning, that the Lord would deliver through him the message. Do you believe God's got a message for you today? Amen. Amen. That's the reason we've come this way, that the Lord would speak to us. And let's just pray the Lord open our minds and our hearts that we might receive what God has for us today. But let's go to Him again in a word of prayer. Brother Don, would you ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering this morning?
I face the fear and danger, walk me through. When the darkness hovers near and I don't know what to do, take my hand, gentle shepherd, walk me.
I just want to take a minute this morning to thank God for his mighty faithfulness to me over the years. In my 41 years, he's been faithful in all things. And I know that all of you here this morning can say the same. He's walked us through many, many things. And I think about all the people hurting this morning. You know, I had a dear friend at work. One of my dearest coworkers called me on Friday afternoon to let me know that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And immediately we went into prayer. And I just told her, I said, no matter if this is a light rain shower or if this is a heavy storm or hurricane, God God will walk you through this, and I'm your friend, and I will pray through with you every step of the way. I will hold your hand and be with you as God is in control, and he's going to see you through this. But Brother David, he so graciously worked with Lily and I during the pandemic on Still Faithful. And I know we sang this last Sunday night, but several people called and said that it was a blessing and they'd like to hear it this morning, especially Miss Pam and a few others. So I just pray that it'll minister to your heart this morning as we try to be obedient to the Lord.
If I have to bear this pain and walk out in the rain to be in your perfect will for my life, I'm willing to make a sacrifice. 'Cause Lord, you're all that matters to me. Even when this road so lonely, see my heart crying for peace. You rescue me in times of need.
When my world is crashing down and there's no hope to be found,
Lord, you're still faithful time and again. When my heart is burning, even then, Lord, you're still faithful. And when there's nothing to see, I just have to believe that you are working behind the scenes. Lord, you're still faithful. You're still faithful to me. And if I have to give up what's important to me,
I'll let it go knowing that I'll see
your will for me unfolding. Lord, you're still faithful time and again. When my heart is burdened, even then, Lord, you're still faithful. And when there's nothing to see, I just have to believe that you are working behind the scenes. Lord, you're still faithful. You're still faithful to me. Lord, you're still faithful. Still faithful to me.
Faithfulness this morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Miss Pam?
I have to thank God. He's so good. I mean, he is amazing and all through. I can't get over all he does for me. I mean, he does for
yes.
me, but he does it for all of us. And he's just been amazing. And I just thank God that he allows this old broken vessel, this old broken body, this old no good for nothing until Jesus came and changed me.
Amen.
And I still every day struggle with figuring out what God wants me to do. But he's always faithful and thank you so much. I don't know about this thing I'm talking about, but it's what you mean about it when I need that song.
Amen.
And I thank God for using me. And I will be able to just pray that I will continue to do God's will. Even when I want to quit. Somebody preached to me Wednesday. Don't quit. So
amen.
Just pray for me.
Amen. God bless.
My husband, because I never get to see my husband no more. He works all the time and I work all the time. So.
Yes. Anybody else? Brother Harold. Brother Harold. So good to see you this morning. Anyone else?
Brother Justin, I want to say something.
Go ahead, Michelle.
We all know I've been dealing with this sickness. God has brought me so far in just past 2 days have been amazing. No headache, no nauseous, nothing like that that I've been dealing with. Seizure activity, nothing. I'm just thankful that we're able to come today and that God is still working. And I do have an appointment with my new neurologist on Wednesday. I'm a little nervous over that. So I've been praying for that, but I am thankful for each and every one of them.
Amen. So thankful y'all are here this morning. Anyone else? Only if you have something you have to say.
Yes. And yet, even though there was three physically there was a Amen. I'm not going to be alone because that's the God that we serve.
Amen.
He promises that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. And just
yes.
like Brother Harold mentioned earlier, where we're going to face the battles that we face. But you know what? I wait for when he takes me, whether it's by physical body or if he calls for right home.
Amen.
I'm going to be ready. And church, it's up to us. Do we look at it as though I'm walking with God, or am I wondering if I'm walking with God? It's not if I'm walking with God, but am I walking with God?
Amen.
Just like in revival, press on and keep on.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. We're keeping on, keeping on. Because Jesus, he ain't giving up on me. And he ain't giving up on us yet. Because he ain't giving up, we're still.
Amen.
There's time for us to live for him, but when it seems like there's no end, no answer, God's going to give us because we got to be faithful to him because he's still with us. He's in our presence, church.
Amen.
And we just got to look for him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. Anybody else? I don't want to cut the flow off. That's it. We'll change directions. Going once, twice. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. I'm going in a total opposite direction in which the service is going this morning. And I feel I have the correct message from the Lord on my heart. And this will most likely be a two-part message. Now tonight we're meeting downstairs, and so during the devotion time, that's where I'll finish this message, part two. And I don't normally cover subjects like this on Sunday mornings, maybe on a Sunday night, definitely on a Wednesday night. But I want to deal with something this morning, and I trust the Lord will use it in his word to change us and challenge us. I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then we'll introduce the subject. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for these testimonies this morning. It's amazing, Lord, when we sing about and talk about your faithfulness, it as to how that removes the lid of our praise. When we talk about how good you've been, many, Lord, praise your name, and we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray over the next few moments that you'll give me a clear head and a calm heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use your word, your living word, and apply it to the hearts of those listening that are here and those on Facebook as well. We have not met in vain. There is a purpose for this service, and so we pray that you'd use us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This morning I'd like to
deal with a subject that I'm sure we all have been guilty of at some point, time or the other. And that is the subject of anger. The subject of anger. My title this morning is Spiritual Anger Management. Spiritual anger management. And what that is, it's dealing with anger in a spiritual and biblical way. Growing up, I used to watch the cartoon Tom and Jerry. And I'm sure a lot of people have here growing up. Tom and Jerry they always fought. Tom was always after Jerry. At times, Jerry would provoke Tom on purpose. He loved to see him angry. It thrilled Tom to see Jerry angry. He would light his tail on fire and then run off into his little mouse hole. Jerry would. Just pick it on Tom. If things were calm and Tom had opportunity, he would take a shot at Jerry, chasing him through the house with a gigantic hammer, destroying everything in its path. It was almost like they weren't content unless they were fighting. Now I have a question this morning. We don't have any Toms or Jerrys in the house, do we? Those watching on Facebook, we don't have any Toms and Jerrys watching, do we? Where we get a kick out of seeing a friend, a spouse, a partner angry. And so this morning, when it comes to the subject of anger or spiritual anger management, there are certainly some things that we can learn and benefit from. Again, I normally don't cover subjects like this on a Sunday morning, maybe on a Sunday night, definitely on Wednesdays, but I really feel that we should cover this subject this morning and tonight. I want to mention three things that pertain to anger and how we are to deal with it in our lives. Number one, I want to say that there is a disciplined anger. There's a disciplined anger. This is anger under control. This is a righteous anger. This kind of anger under control, this righteous anger, this disciplined anger is good and it's useful. Now notice here in Ephesians chapter number 4 in verse number 26. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And so the Bible tells us literally that it's okay to be angry about some things. And that we should be angry about some things, but in a very disciplined way. He says, "Be ye angry." Be angry. "And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And so the Bible tells us that we should be angry about some things. I want to say this morning that we should be angry at the devil for the lives that he's destroying. We should be angry at this devil for the families that he is putting a wedge between. There are so many families this morning where father and mother never talk. They're always fighting and arguing, and the children are always watching. And then we have the children that grow up and they do the very same things that they've seen in the home take place. This morning we ought to be angry about that. We ought to be angry at the devil. We ought to be angry this morning at sin. We ought to be angry this morning at our own potential to sin. In fact, when you read in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, Paul gets into the subject of repentance. And he talks about how that a person is clear in a matter of sinning. And he mentions several things, but one of the things that he mentions is when a person has truly repented, told God they're sorry, had a change of heart, and moved on, is that there will be a hatred towards sin. A child of God this morning ought not to love sin or plan sin, but hate sin. You see, this morning there is a disciplined anger, and we ought to be angry at sin. We ought to be angry at the sin we commit. We ought to be angry at the potential that we have to sin. We ought to be angry at the effects of sin. People are on drugs and alcohol. People are even just out of church this morning because they got involved with other things, not necessarily bad things, but they've allowed themselves to be caught in trap. A lot of kids, a lot of parents this morning are at the ball field. And they are. And they're there again on Sunday night, and they're there again on Wednesday night, but all the other days of the week, they're never there. What is that? Well, we know that the devil many times will lure away his children from church. And so this morning we ought to be angry at sin. We ought to be angry at sin that's harmful, sin that we don't necessarily categorize as sin but can become sin. Now, I'm not picking on sports. I know we have some families and those who love sports that are in the church, and they can have their place, but it should never take place of church. Never. And so we ought to get angry, not only of that, but we ought to be angry of sin in general, in the effects of sin, and how it changes people's lives and draws them away. This morning, there's a good anger. We ought to be angry at the direction of our country, the way that we're going. We're moving away from God and not toward God, you know. We're moving away from God, and those that are in office are trying to refabricate the very essence of a home. They have their ads on TV. They have their commercials. They have their alternate lifestyles. They have mom and mom. They have dad and dad. They have all of these things taking place, trying to refabricate the meaning of a family and trying to indoctrinate our children. That's what they're trying to do. The devil's behind all of it, pulling the strings and motivating people. And the devil would love nothing more this morning for then a child to say, well, I may not want to be with a boy. I may want to be with a girl. It's all over TV. You know, it must be okay. We ought to be angry at that. We ought to have some righteous indignation over alternate lifestyles, over Gay Pride Month. We ought to have all of these things within us swelling up so that we can counter those things with the gospel. We ought to be angry this morning. We ought to be angry that the gay pride tried to steal the rainbow emblem from the Bible. I was in Target the other day, and listen, I'm not picking on those that are caught up in an alternate lifestyle. Sin is sin. But I was in Target the other day, and some of the employees, there wasn't all the employees, but some of them had red shirts on because of Target, but it had a rainbow on it. And I guarantee you that wasn't the rainbow found in Genesis, but it was the rainbow that they're trying to distort when it comes to alternate lifestyles. Men being with men, women being with women. All you have to do is drive down the road and you don't just see American flags anymore. You see gay pride flags. Listen, we're not picking on those with alternate lifestyles because sin is sin. And if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. But this morning, we ought to be angry at how the government and those in leadership are leading and guiding our country. Never thought that we would have to be commentators when we watch movies and watch TV as a family every 2 seconds. Oh, Lily, that's not right. That's wrong. Don't believe. Now she's of the age and she has a sure foundation of Jesus in her life, and she's able to discern good and evil. She knows what's the truth and what's wrong, and praise the Lord for that. But we have to commentate our own family times, watching TV and going down the road and seeing people in public and how they're dressed and what they're saying and doing. We ought to be angry at how sin has taken over the world. We ought to be angry about Christians who don't attend church anymore, in person or online. You know, the first thing that happened when the pandemic occurred, of course, it was online worship. And as Christy stated a moment ago, we faithfully preached 3 times a week online for 2 years. And then it came time to come back in person. And we had a big crowd that first Sunday. And we had it sustained over the course of some Sundays, had some nice crowds. And but over time it kind of dwindled. And it's not just our church, but it's the church world in churches. So some say, well, I'm not coming to worship in person because of the virus, because of the coronavirus. And then it was, well, I just don't feel like I should come in person because, you know, I had the virus and I wanted to stay out to make sure. And that's fine. But you see, now there's vaccines and now there's immunity and there's ways of taking care of yourself. And so really the question is, what's the excuse now? Because a large percent, and I can't remember how much the percentage was, but I heard it on the radio, a large percent do not even watch online worship services anymore. What happened? They drifted. And the whole time they thought they had the reins of their Christian life. Listen, that's what happens if we're not careful. We ought to be angry this morning about the drop in church attendance and those that don't even watch it online anymore. There's some people that used to watch our services. I can remember certain faces popping up and reading after the services who was on there, who wasn't on there. And there's some people who haven't been on there in months. Months. That's sad. That's sad. Are you angry this morning? Are you angry at that, or are you okay with it? We ought to be angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. So this morning there's a disciplined anger. This is anger under control. This is a righteous anger. This is a good and useful anger. Jesus wants us to be angry this morning, but in a very righteous way. Psalm chapter number 7, I'll just give it to you in verse 11. It says that God is angry with the wicked every day. You say, hold on, Brother Justin. God is a loving God. Yes, He's a loving God. But God is also a holy God. I think we've forgotten how holy God is. He's so holy, no one can come into His presence except we be ushered in by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. He is the only reason why we can even come into His presence and pray. But live the Christian life every day in a very practical way, we need to understand that God wants us to be holy. He wants us to yield to Him. He wants us to resist temptation. He wants us to resist sin. He wants us to be angry at sin. God is holy, therefore He is angry with the wicked every day. Mark chapter number 3 and verse number 5. This was the account of when the man with the withered hand was in a synagogue. And we know that Jesus was getting ready to heal him. But the Pharisees rose up against Jesus for doing this, and they tried to accuse him with the law of Moses. And the Bible says in Mark 3 verse number 5 that Jesus, He looked round about them with anger. With anger. It was a righteous anger. I'm sure Jesus within His mind and heart was saying, are you kidding me? I'm getting ready to heal this man, and you're trying to hold him and pin him to the Old Testament law of Moses. Yet Jesus looked upon them with anger. And the Pharisees were being Pharisees. There's a disciplined anger this morning. This is an anger under control. This is a righteous anger. This is a good and useful anger. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This morning we need some angry Christians. This morning we need some angry moms. This morning we need some angry dads. So angry that we fortify our homes and put Jesus first. We need some angry moms and angry dads. We need some angry kids that's following God. That says, I will not be numbered with this world. I'm walking with Jesus. We need some anger back in the home. And so this morning, when it comes to spiritual anger management, there is a disciplined anger. But let me move on to the second point. Not only there is a disciplined anger, but there's a destructive anger. A destructive anger. This kind of anger is out of control. This is a sinful and harmful anger. If there's a godly anger, which means it's anger under control, then there is a sinful anger that's out of control. This anger causes a person, listen, this kind of anger, this destructive anger, it causes a person to hate others. It causes some to seek revenge. It causes some to think bad and hold grudges. This destructive anger, if you're not careful, can cause you to gossip and speak evil of others. This kind of destructive anger causes and can cause physical harm to others, can cause us to become bitter and hateful. This type of anger the Bible condemns, while the Bible condones godly anger. This kind of anger is condemning. This kind of anger needs to go. This kind of anger is destructive. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 25, go ahead and turn, if you would, to Proverbs 25, just in case we may have dozed off a little bit. Let's turn on over. Proverbs 25, I want you to listen to this. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. The Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Let's get the imagery here for a moment. He's talking about a person that has no control over their spirit. And he's comparing it to a city that's broken down without walls. So, a city this morning that is broken down, number one, cannot operate because it's broken. And every person, in every place in that city that has been broken down, they all been touched by that destruction. Every person in every place has been touched by the destruction of that city. This broken city is open for enemies to come and rummage through its rubble because there's no walls. And the same goes this morning for that angry individual who operates out of sour emotions and the feelings of entitlement. This kind of anger is destructive and will destroy a person's life. Talking about this destructive kind of anger, let me say this. Many people have reacted out of emotion and bad anger and have paid everlasting consequences. Cain murdered Abel out of jealousy. Moses committed murder and then hid the body. Good people this morning have made bad choices and are serving life sentences in prisons. Some are even on death row because out of a moment's circumstance and all of the emotions that were swelling and moving, they took somebody's life and didn't even think about it. There's good people in prison this morning. There's good people on death row this morning. There's a show on one of the law channels, court channels, whatever, called Snapped. And it tells the stories of these good people that had and lived good moral lives, worked jobs regular, went to church even, but because of their circumstance and in about 5 or 10 minutes of arguing with someone, they snapped and they took somebody's life. And a lot of them would interview and say, "I never intended on killing that person. I never intended on taking their life. Never intended on doing what I did. But in a moment of anger, I felt like I was being encroached upon. And I felt like I felt an entitlement to my life and things in my life." And so there was this friction and this fight. And I took their life. There's good people this morning in prison. There's good people this morning on death row because of an anger fit taking someone's life. There are everlasting consequences when we don't control anger. So this morning there is a destructive anger. This morning there is a disciplined anger. And then let me say, this morning there's the dealings with anger. There's the dealings with anger. As believers, how do we deal with anger when it's of the sinful kind? I want to give you three words, and in my estimation, in according to the Bible, this is how we should at least to begin with anger if we have an anger problem in a bad way. Three words when it comes to dealing with anger. The first word is forecast. Forecast. In any given situation or circumstance, discern where the situation's going. If you're in a situation and it's getting heated, and you're going back and forth with someone, discern that. Discern it. Now listen, I know Justin more than anybody. My wife knows Justin of 17 years. Lily knows Justin of 15 years. But I know Justin more than anybody besides God. And sometimes I think people mistake my meekness for weakness. You know, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man of the earth, the meekest of them all. And let me just say, if you ever come across somebody and you're arguing with them, or you don't like them, or you're just being quarrelsome with them, and they're being meek about it, it's best to let it go. It's best to walk away. And by the way, I have no one in mind with this message that I'm preaching this morning. But I know Justin more than anybody. And I know my flesh. And I know if I do not forecast any given situation, I could snap and be in the biggest trouble of my life. Anybody. Sometimes these self-righteous Christians really get on my nerves. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Allen. They do. You know, they walk a certain way. They're Bible on their arms. They're back straight, you know, and just like this. And hey, brother. You know. Oh, I would never do that, bless God. No, no, no. There's people like that, and if you, listen, they can't fool me. I'm thinking when I'm talking to someone like that, I'm thinking, man, just drop the mask. Be yourself. Okay, we're all capable of sinning and blowing everything. So just be yourself, and let's talk. Let's have a good conversation. But there's some people who are that way. And listen, we're all capable of messing a good thing up. And so me, at least, whenever I am in a situation and I can sense a storm brewing out of it, I see the lightning and I hear the thunder clap, Justin Hales is leaving. And it's not because I'm scared. It's not because I don't want to win a battle verbally. It's because if I do not walk away, it's going to get physical. So, forecast your dilemmas in life. So, that's how we have victory over anger. Number one, we forecast. The first word is forecast. Forecast any given situation. But number two, fortify. Look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Fortify. Colossians 3 and verse number 8 says this. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Stop there for just a moment. That's Colossians 3 in verse number 8. He says, but now ye also put off all these. And the first one that he names is anger. The words put off here, in verse number 8, put off, it means to lay aside. And so this means that this requires deliberate action, that we are to lay aside anger. We're to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all the rest of it. We're to fortify ourselves. Put it off. Protect yourself. Don't put yourself in a situation that could make you angry. Now, the things listed in this verse are not suitable for the Christian life. They do not define the Christian. They don't complement the Christian. These were all former characteristics BC, before Christ. Now, positionally, we are capable of anger. We are capable of all of these. Practically, on a daily basis, we can commit these things, but positionally, I should say, as a believer, we are capable of putting off anger. We can put it off. We can lay it aside. We are capable of doing that because we know and we see that our old man has been crucified. The old you has been crucified. The old Justin has been put to death. That's why when we get baptized after accepting Jesus, we are publicly declaring to the world that the old me is dead and there rose a new me. The problem with most Christians is that we don't yield to the power that we have. There is a power within us. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, He can allow us to lay aside some things. So we see that positionally we're capable of putting off anger, seeing our old man has been crucified with its affections and lusts. So how do we deal with anger? We fortify ourselves. How do we deal with anger? We forecast, discern any given situation. But then lastly, and this is going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, there's the word fight. Forecast, fortify, and then fight. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 9, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Look in verse number 9 at the word blessing. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Now that word blessing, it means fine speaking. Fine speaking. And so the challenge is with this verse is when others are cruel to us and say cruel things, the challenge is to speak in a fine way about them or to them. The challenge is while they're breathing out cursings to us, for us to breathe out blessings to them. Now look at the word railing. Railing for railing. The word railing means slander. And so he is literally talking about those who are slandering you, those who are saying things about you. That's not true. They're slandering you and your reputation and your character and your name. He tells us to not render evil for evil or slander for slander. So what is he getting at? He's telling us, instead of having revenge or slander for slander or evil for evil, blessing. Fine speaking. Speak well of. So what's the challenge? The challenge is to counter anger when it comes our way. And this is the only way to get rid of anger and live in victory, is when you choose to take the high road and you choose to render blessing. You choose to say, you know what? That person spoke very ugly of me and said some things that weren't true, but I'm choosing to speak well of them. What that does is it filters out the anger that's on the inside of you. Listen, it's got to hurt. It's going to hurt. Because my natural tendency is, you said what about me? You said what? Okay. All right. Wait till I see you in Walmart. Just wait. I don't look like I do in a suit. I got on a baseball hat, shorts, and a t-shirt. Listen, I'm not glorying and gloating at what I would do. I'm embarrassed and ashamed of what I would do. But I know me. And I know if someone says, Justin, you are a low dog piece of trash, I'll say, thank you. You're a very nice person. God bless you. Tell me. It takes the power of God to do that. Because we are a defenseful people. We want to protect ourselves. We work hard. We do right. And if somebody comes against us, we want to protect ourselves and we want to hammer down. But that's not always the way to go. The only way to filter out anger is to counter anger with the love of Jesus. You're not going to get around it. It is better to counter anger with the love of Jesus than do something and end up in prison your whole life. I challenge all of us this morning to filter out anger. The next time you read the forecast and the lightning striking and the thunder's clapping, people's calling you, things didn't go your way, someone said something wrong about you, gave some false information, I challenge you to say, not today, devil, not today. I am dealing with this. I'm taking the high road. I'm going to render not evil for evil like the world does, but I'm going to render blessing for evil like Jesus wants me to. And so whenever we do this, anger will be filtered out. You will live a life of victory. But it's a day-by-day challenge, you see. Now, there is a couple things, other things I want to mention, but we're going to close with that tonight. And I want to pick up tonight verse number 11 and 12. Verse number 11 and 12. There are some special things that need to be said in verse number 11 and 12, and we'll save that for tonight. But dealing with anger, or spiritual anger management this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Lord, it's been a different kind of Sunday sermon. Lord, I feel like it's needful. God, you know that I'm not gloating or bragging about what I would do in a very fleshly way. Just trying to get everybody's attention this morning. Paul talks about that he knows his flesh and no good thing dwells within his flesh. And so therefore he would plan his course accordingly. He would forecast any given situation. He would fortify himself, Lord, and all the rest of it. Help us today. If we're struggling with this emotion, help us counter this emotion with the love of Jesus. Help us have anger, but a godly anger. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. And if you need to come of any situation, you come on down.